The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during the supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he was tied around. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Maundy Thursday, and I've said this many times before, comes from the Latin for mandate. I don't know much Latin, but I looked this up. It comes from the Latin for mandate, a command. And this command is to love one another as God has loved us. This is the new commandment that Jesus gives us. It is modeled on the summation of the Ten Commandments that we hear in the book of Deuteronomy when they're about to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. It is repeated throughout the Gospels as a summation of all the Law and Prophets, at least some form of it is. But here, right before the cross, Jesus tells his disciples that this is a new commandment. The disciples would have also recognized that this is a singular commandment. This isn't one in a long line of many. This isn't one to add to all the ones that Jesus had been sharing before. In all of the Gospels, there is one thing that Jesus labels as a commandment. Sure, Jesus uses the imperative form of verbs quite often, and he also commands quite often people to do this, that, or the other thing. Go, he says. Baptize, he says. Forgive, he says. But there is one thing he labels as a commandment, and this is it. To love. To love one another as Jesus has loved them. There's going to be a whole lot that happens in the coming days, hours, to him and his disciples and all the ones that have followed Jesus. There's going to be a whole lot to draw the eye up and away from what's going on. There's going to be a whole lot that boils to the surface, not just in the immediate sense, but all the things that boil to the surface. Crisis, times of grief, times of chaos. Knowing this, that's the beautiful part of John's gospel. Knowing this, Jesus places love at the very center of who they are. And I think they're going to need it. I think they're going to need on this journey at some point to remember love. I wonder what Peter thought about as he wept after he denied Jesus for the third time. I wonder if it ever crossed his mind that Jesus put at the center this love. I wonder what Judas thought about right after he had shared the bowl with Jesus, this first communion with Jesus. I wonder what he thought about as he greatly regretted what he had done to Jesus. I wonder if this love crossed his mind too. I wonder what his followers thought about. I wonder what his friends thought about. I wonder what the people who rented him the room that he was with thought about. I wonder all these things, but at the center of them, what's placed here, and what we're asked to remember. And the other gospels do this in remembrance of me. Is love. You're going to need it. Our church tries in a big way to remember this. I'm always struck by the way that Lent begins with the pastor making the sign of the cross and ashes on your forehead for you to remember that you are dust and to dust you shall return. It ends with the sign of the cross once again on your foreheads. And I, in obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive you all your sins. Whether or not you consider yourself dust, or whether or not you consider yourself a sinner, or whether or not you consider yourself forgiven, what's placed at the center of our lives every time before we go to the cross is love, forgiveness, grace, mercy. Don't go ahead without it. Where in your life are you feeling a lack of love right now? It might be in your own personal life or in the life of the world around you. It might be deep down in your heart, you have a hard time loving yourself. It might be in the things that you look to in the past or the things that you worry about in the future. It could be all over the place. But I know just as a human being in this world, from time to time, there is a part of my life that just feels a little neglected and unloved. Tonight is the night. Before we go to the cross, before we go anywhere, even Easter dawn, that those parts of our lives hear words of love. Hear firmly and fully that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Not Good Friday, not Easter morning, and not even the own little voice inside of our heads. You are loved. This is why every time we commune on Sunday, we don't say, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. We say, every time we're here, you are loved, you are loved, you are loved. Do not go forward without that in your heart. so. Let's go to the table and see it broken and poured for us. Let's watch the altar be stripped. And as we depart in silence, let this voice still speak. You are loved. Amen.